guys that are over there just to come over here, because it's quite a, we spread it out, but it's quite hard to talk when you're all over that way. Thank you. Do you want this one?
Do you want to hold
this one?
Is that all right?
Good morning. Is this on? Yep, it is. I can hear it now. So we just wanted to tell a little bit of the story about how we got to there, because it wasn't overnight and it wasn't without a lot of disappointment and, you know, the ups and downs. But to begin with, I just want to say from me, I feel like we need to tell you, because really you're the investors in this. It's not... We didn't do this. It's all of you guys. We couldn't have even been in a position to do it if you hadn't dug deep. And for that, we're really incredibly grateful. So just thought we'd go back and tell you how we got there. Do you want to hear? It's kind of like storytelling, but...
just as well, because we don't know what we'd do if you said no.
Yeah.
Awkward?
And Lyndon printed out my notes, and I've got 9 pages, so that should put you all. But it's only because somehow, look at the margins. Can you see? There. So don't worry, it's not 9 pages worth. But so December 2015, we met with Cam and Sandy, who had been running the youth for some time, and they told us that 2016 would be their last year of doing it. Done an incredible job whilst working full time and just done it out of the kindness of their hearts for our youth, which was incredible, and giving us a year's notice was even more incredible. So we had our first leadership meeting in 2016, and all through that summer holidays it just burdened me deeply that, probably like nothing has for a long time, that we can't drop the ball with our young people. And we, knowing we had a year, and my personality is really ordered and very precise. Yeah, I was in that precise group. So I like to know, and I'd actually feel really irresponsible when I do know to go get to, this is where we're quite different, get to December 2016 and be like, oh, what are we gonna do? So I would start. I didn't say that, you. But anyway, so we kind of knew we had that year, and we talked about it that very first leaders meeting, going, you know, we've got to do this. It's so important. So a few months into the year, we got together a group of people, lots of you are in this room, and we sat in the Betty Paxton room, and we went, how are we going to do this? And there were some crazy ideas and all kinds of ideas of ways we could do it. And the long and short of that was, we thought we'd start with that envelope campaign, which you'll remember. And we did it, which was just incredible. We more than did it. You exceeded what we were aiming for, which was just amazing.
Yeah, so we started that giving campaign, and I'll be totally honest, I had very little faith. I'll be totally, totally honest. I just thought, you know, God, it's big. It felt really big, and I knew we could do it, but I was surprised when it happened, you know? Do you know? It was amazing, and I want to say thank you to everyone who has given, because I know it's, for a lot of people, it's a sacrifice. It isn't just money that's sitting around that you think, oh man, I've been waiting for something to do with all that money, you know? And what's been so amazing is that it's so many people giving what God has asked them to give. It isn't just a couple of fat cats giving of their huge excess and whatever. It's families. It was so beautiful and so humbling to see families pulling together and setting up an AP for this thing. So I just wanted to say So we left sabbatical with knowing that the finances were there, which was such an amazing feeling. And it was brilliant.
So we thought that was the hard bit done. We're like, great, we've got the money. This is cool. Let's find the person. And we're going away, so you guys find the person and we'll come back. And it didn't happen like that. But prior to going on our sabbatical, we canvassed far and wide. We got it out. First of all, went to every vineyard church. We contacted every Christian training college in New Zealand. We advertised on Vocate, which is a Christian website for job things. Spoke to just about everyone we knew and could bring it into the conversation. We asked you guys to share it, which lots of you did. And then mid-August, we left on our sabbatical, and me, with my precise personality, was feeling like I'd ticked every box and done everything I could, and off we go. We left it in the capable hands of, actually I only think one of these people is in the room, but Joe Hathaway, Paul Carstensen, Andrew McCulloch and Cam Dick. And those guys, seriously, we want to thank you very much, because they have spent hours and hours and hours of their time reading numerous CVs that have come in, some of which didn't take very long to read because they were like an immediate no. But there were lots of hours spent interviewing people and, you know, just their time, and we're so grateful for that. So when we came back in November, they actually contacted us before we came back just to say that there's two guys set up to interview the first week you're back, and one was on the Wednesday, I think, and one on the Friday. And so my plan was all working, because that was exactly how it was meant to work, that we'd come back and we'd interview and we'd hire someone and it would all be good. So we interviewed the first guy, really nice guy. He was a genuinely very nice guy, but just wasn't for us. We all agreed. That's been an amazing part of this process of having six of us, or at least five, because Andrew often wasn't involved in the interview part, but that we all agreed. So then the second interview, because some of these people have actually been in church and you didn't know it. I think they all have, just about. So they'd come to visit while we were on sabbatical, and the team all thought this was the guy. He seemed great. And so did we from paper, we'd almost hired him. And then on the Thursday before his interview, which was the next day, he emailed. It was an email, wasn't it? And said, just letting you know, I'm going to remove myself from the process. I've taken a job with the Tauranga Council. And it was like, I was down in Auckland with Samuel, had an appointment, and I was completely gutted. Like, we only had two, and now we had none. And it was like, how on earth did we get here? I remember coming home and phoning someone, and I was really upset. And they just said, you have to know this is a faith journey. God hasn't brought us, you know, all the things people tell you when you're feeling not feeling that at all. I had very little faith and I was quite annoyed. I felt like I had...
The guy went from hero to zero.
Yeah, he did. I felt like, I guess is the thing. I felt like I had done everything I could do. But it actually really isn't about me. It's about what God was doing. And so anyway, we had to dig deep. We really did have to dig deep. You've got to remember, this is like week two of coming back from sabbatical. And it was like, seriously, this was meant to be done. We were so disappointed, so disillusioned. We had the money. We'd searched everywhere we knew to go, and nothing. And it was like really hard. So Lynn and I had to dig deep. And I think over that time, I was thinking about it when I was writing this last week, and I was walking a lot, and I was asking God just to give me something that, you know, something that I could hold on to, that he was carrying us through this time. And I often love watching birds. I'm not a bird watcher, don't get me wrong, but like even at our house, we've got a kowhai tree and there's a big wood pigeon that sits in it. And I just find him amazing just to watch. And so, and this is the verse God gave me, and it might seem a bit odd, but to me it meant everything. It's in Matthew 6, verse 26. Out of the Message, it says, "Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds." And out of the NIV, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And for me, it was just that reminder that God could see us, and he was walking this journey with us. So we set the wheels in motion again. It was honestly like Groundhog Day. It's like, okay, here we go again. We'll contact Vocate and just did everything again. And all of the people, when we contacted them, were like, "Oh, I can't believe you haven't hired anyone," which was quite irritating. It's like, well, no, neither can we. We went a step further and put it on Seek, which wasn't, it was a complete and utter waste of time. We put a Life FM radio ad. We thought, let's spend some money and do a big push on that. So yeah, it really was like Groundhog Day. And in reality, in my heart, I knew, why are we doing this in December? Really, it was December. Like, who's looking for a job in December? Not many people. It's Christmas. But it was just, I guess it was that burden thing still that we've got to keep going. Like, these kids are going to start the year in January, and we're no further ahead than we were last January. So the week before Christmas, we did get an applicant in. So over the whole process, just so you know, I think we interviewed 5 people. I think it's what it came down to. So we interviewed a guy the week before Christmas. And I remember, because we were all kind of over at the factory there, and you're kind of a little bit desperate, but not wanting to be desperate. And the guy so wasn't right for us. We knew that. But even afterwards, it was kind of a conversation like, well, maybe, you know. And then we went home and I said to Lynn, and it so wouldn't work. But you know how you get desperate and you just like want it to work. But I guess coming back to that team, I loved that in the process, it was about our kids, what was going to be best for them. And we could always come back to that and go, this is not the person for our youth. So we could move on. And then January came, January 1st. I couldn't believe it actually that we'd hit January 1st and still had nothing. And we had lunch with Vic and Fran out at Matakana, and they're pastors of the Vineyard Church on the shore. And I was lamenting completely, probably whinging would be more the word. And
lamenting sounds
nice, but I was, and Vic's personality is very much like mine. He's a very precise person, and he turned around and he said, "Angela, have you thought about the fact that maybe the timing isn't right and God totally has the person for you and it's just not the right timing for them to be able to apply yet?" I said, no.
Because
it's... And it did, it actually went very deep, and I went, okay, I can, maybe that is what it's about. I could take it from Vic. So then we hit January, mid-January.
Yes, so we were in, I always help out in New Wine, which is the festival that happens here in Walker, and kind of for me, probably personality-wise, it was kind of like, yeah, God is going to do this, trying to work out the details is too tedious anyway, so I'll just leave all that to the side and try to pretend like I'm just being really faithful, but really it was just like, I don't know what to do anymore, so I'm going to leave it because I don't know how to do anything else. So I was emceeing New Wine, as I've done for a couple of years. We've gone back to the telling everyone about it, thinking, oh man, who could we, my good friend who pastors the new, Church Unlimited, I tried to poach him. So how much is Tuck paying you? We can be there. Trust me. This is so much nicer than Auckland to live. But none of that works. And anyway, I was in the Leaders Lounge one evening talking to a lady I hadn't met before, telling her about
Esther Rowan, did she know anyone? And she just sort of stopped and she said, I found out later she was a really well-known, very recognized in lots of different movements, prophet. And she just said, actually, just listening to you, and I really feel like God is saying, you're going to find someone from somewhere you haven't been looking. I was like, oh, where do you look there? I think I've looked everywhere. Like, I don't know. And so again, for us, it was just another sense of, yes, we have done all we can do. And in those times, there has to be probably one of the hardest things you have to do when you've done everything you can do is trust. Is to kind of almost step back and say, okay, God, you've seen all that we've done, and now we trust you.
Yeah, so that night, Lyndon called me over because I wasn't in that conversation, and he said to the lady, he said, tell Angela what you just said. And I was a bit like Lyndon, like, well, it was great, but it's like, I don't actually know what that means, but thank you very much. Because she said more than that. She said the unexpected place, and it's going to surprise you. And I was like, okay. And then I remember being in a New Wine meeting, I think the next night, and this lady got up and said something. I said to Lyndon, well, maybe that's her. So I talked to her afterwards, and she was telling me, I said, what do you do? And oh, my husband's a surgeon at Waikato Hospital. I'm like, oh, okay, it's not going to be you because you're not going to move up here. Anyway, so over and over, it was just a process where, for me, where I would stress about it. I'd let it go. I'd release it to God. I'd pick it up again. I'd stress about it. I'd let it go. I'd release it. Anyway, we left for our holiday in Queenstown, having let it go again, because I'm like, well, we're going away for a week, so let's just, nothing's going to happen, it's January anyway. And while we were in Queenstown, we got an email saying that someone had applied, and very closely followed by an email from Jo Hathaway saying she had already been, because this is what you do actually, you need to know this, when you people apply for a job, the very first thing we do is go on Facebook and stalk them. So look out for what's on your Facebook page. And Jo said, I think this is her, and put a photo, and I found her Facebook page. She looks great. Because you need to know that we had people in there, very elderly people apply from Singapore, and we had loads of South Africans, no offence taken, Sheldon and Vanessa, albeit quite elderly people.
We had a gentleman from South Africa. His closest criteria for applying for the job is he once had a teenager himself. Don't know if he knew who Jesus was.
So anyway, we arranged a Skype interview with, or a FaceTime, whatever you call it, with Charlotte for the first week when we got home. And so that initial interview was just Lyndon and I and Joe over in the factory. And we hit end on that call. And with the three of us really just looked at each other and went, wow. Like it was, never mind what the rest of the team thought, we thought she was great. And it was almost like, I was trying to figure out how to explain it, and it was like Charlotte was talking our heart for our youth, and she didn't even know it. Like everything we had prayed for and been looking for, she was speaking that. We were really kind interviewers, I think, but don't worry, she got round to where. So we came away, and we did all her checks, like we got references and looked at that, and everything was coming back great. Set up a second interview, which that time it was Lyndon and I and Paul and Cam.
Clearly. Don't ever go to an interview with Cam and Paul.
Oh my gosh, I was feeling so bad for her. They knew we liked her, but what none of the team ever did know is that Lyndon and I had prayed from the very beginning that when it came the time to make a decision, that it would be a completely unanimous decision, that we would all be in agreement, that there'd be no three of us like the person and two don't, or we wanted everyone to be, this is the way to go. And so that interview was in the evening here, and it was 6 o'clock in the morning for Charlotte. So she'd just woken up, and oh my gosh, these guys, they got stuck in. Like, nice, but tough questions. I was kind of sitting there going, oh my goodness, I wouldn't even know how to answer that question. But again, she, at 6 o'clock in the morning even, like she, didn't she? She answered, just her heart for young people was, I can't explain, it's when she opens her mouth, there is just something incredibly beautiful about her heart. And that's what we fell in love with. And without getting into it, we actually had another interview that night as well that followed straight on from behind that one. And that put a little bit of confusion in there because it was, we'd already decided that we thought Charlotte was great, so then to interview again was like, oh, this isn't going to be the person, but anyway, we'll interview. They actually interviewed really well, and you're in that position of, oh, now what do we do? And but coming home, I was still totally at peace that we were making the right decision with Charlotte, but we agreed that night to leave it and all pray about it and ask God to show us if it was any of these people, and if it was, which one. So by that next day, we had heard from everyone on the team, and they all said they really felt it was to offer the job to Charlie. So I would have to say that we contacted her and said, can we FaceTime you again? And honestly, to do that call and offer her the job was just, wasn't it? It was amazing. She was, again, we woke her up at like some hideous hour of the morning. So she must have to get up really early to make herself look presentable. But it was just so lovely to see her face. And she was so shocked and so honoured. She's like, I can't believe, in her accent, I can't believe it, that you want me. And she was just, wasn't she? She was just gorgeous. And I think she could hardly talk, actually. She was just really shocked. So last week I contacted her again, and I said to her, because she kept saying that God had been leading her through this whole journey, but she'd never got into what that looked like. And so I emailed her last week, and I said, would you be able to email us and just tell us what that looked like on your side of the world? And she emailed it back, and I read it to Lynn, and we both just sat there. I actually got really emotional. So I thought, man, I can so see what Vic said about the timing thing. It was like, oh man, God has totally been in this. So I just want to share just briefly what she said. And she said that her journey started a long time ago when she started asking God for the next step when she finished her degree. So she's at London School of Theology, and she's just finishing her third year of theology. And her heart was always to come somewhere like New Zealand. However, and I'm just going to quote this, she said, God challenged me as to whether I would go anywhere and I'd do anything for him, or whether really I just wanted to do something that was Instagram worthy and fun. Which I thought, that's quite, in the world that our young people live in, Instagram's huge. And I read that and went, wow. Anyway, it got to a point where I could genuinely pray that I would go wherever God wanted me, even if it wasn't what I thought looked like fun or like a place I could bless. The day after I prayed this, I was sitting in the library and I was going to Google to look for some book for an essay, and God said to me, put in Vineyard Youth Pastor New Zealand, and so I did, and this job came up top. Because see, before we interviewed her, I had this figured out in my head how it had happened, because that guy on that video who was interpreting for her, he was staying at our house during New Wine with his wife, who's English. So I thought, oh, they'd contacted Charlie and told her about the job. They hadn't at all. It wasn't until they got back to England that they found out Charlie had applied for the job, and they said, oh my gosh, we were staying with them over New Wine. So it's crazy. So I prayed for a while and asked my parents to pray, and then sent my CV off and asked God to lead you guys. Isn't that incredible? I just read it and went, oh my goodness, that's such a... I mean, she said more than that, but I just picked that bit out of her email.
Yeah, so some of the details. So you know, we weren't actually looking for necessarily a theological degree. Charlie's got tons of experience working with youth inside the church, outside the church, with different organizations. So, but what's actually again a really really great. A great piece of the puzzle that we didn't know about, but because she does have a theological degree, she's able to apply for her immigration status, which is a prayer request, by the way, but she's able to apply under the number one New Zealand status, which is high priority. So it's looking, her
high
immigration
skilled.
Is looking very, very positive because there's a recognized shortage of ministers and pastors in New Zealand. But to apply for that, you actually have to have the degree to back that up. So the fact that she's done that has been brilliant. So another really answer to prayer that we didn't even know we needed to pray for. Isn't God amazing like that? So she's finishing her degree in June for a time frame and wants to come out straight away. So we're looking for a June, mid-June arrival time for her. Really to pray. You know, we've got Sally in my handbag. Yeah, that's it. We've printed up these. We'd love for everyone to take a bunch of them. We've printed up cards. That's Charlotte on the front, or Charlie. I think that's what she likes to be called. And we just got some prayer requests. So things like praying for her work visa, and just that all of that sort of goes through, comes through. Cleaning and
it's
just
all
the timing.
Different.
It's all everything is on there. One of the things that we loved is, and I really do, I think somewhere along the lines after Cam and Paul had grilled her, you know, it's like, oh, it really was. Like, I was sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I wouldn't know how to answer that either. And she just handled it like a pro. And we sort of started talking then about money, about the things, and she said the statement which, you know, sometimes people can say things and you think, yeah, right, yeah, I know you say that, but whatever. She said, you know what, I would do this for free, talking about youth and young people. She said, I'd do this for free if I could. And I believed her. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is just something that God has put within her that this is her thing. So she loves youth. She loves having fun. She's a real outdoors person, which has been a real answer to prayer. The other day, she sent us a Facebook feed where she's surfing in England while it's snowing. So already, New Zealand, we've beat that. You can surf without snowing. Loves to surf, loves to hike, loves to mountain climb, loves
run.
Sport. She runs every day. So just a brilliant, brilliant fit, I think, for this area and for our kids.
I think when we interviewed that night after we hung up, Cam said, which meant a lot for us because Cam knows the youth the best. He's spent years with them, and he said, our youth are going to love her. And that was huge coming from Cam. He really cared about who we hired.
Yeah. So that's the story. So where we have, I mean, lots of you have been involved in the process through giving. I know a lot of you have been praying for it, you know, for the process. We'd love for you to transition to start now or continue to pray for Charlie. We've got things like just the fact that no matter how prepared you are, there's nothing like moving to the other side of the world, you know. And so there'll be you know, the requirement or the prayer for making good friends, for making for the transition. She's got full support of her family. She has left home already, so she hasn't lived at home for 4 years, so it isn't that she's moving from home to New Zealand. So there's definitely a sense of independence already, but just looking for that sort of thing, for place to live, all of those sort of sort of practical things. So these cards are going to be for all of us to send out. So we'd love you to continue to partner with that. We have brought back the, at the very back is the big red and white polka dot box, which we use for the giving campaign. Looks like Jenny's going to go hold that up. That we use for the giving campaign. That's back there, and it's back there for a reason that I want to put out to you, which is why I got the kids to stand up again. We have continued to see an unbelievably exciting amount of growth within our children and young people, to the point now, like obviously we've got, we're investing in pastoral care and leadership and oversight. But if you haven't had an opportunity to already give, there are the, so there's a forms back there that you can fill out. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to really prayerfully consider adding an AP that would go to those children and young people. Our factory, the factory spaces, is literally bursting at the seams. We would love to be able to upgrade some facilities over there. The upstairs office, has anyone been there in the summer?
Joe, last week.
Last week, Joe. Joe lost 5 kilos in body weight just for that. We could sell it for that. It's like a sauna. It really is terrible. And then in winter, there's like a 2 to 3 day period where it's comfortable, but then winter comes and then it's freezing. So we'd love to make that facility work better for us. So we had Joe, they have to separate tribe now into three different age groups, just to make it manageable. One of those age groups, last week, the older ones, there were 15 kids, Joe and a helper, in that small upstairs space. That's crazy. We're looking at knocking down the wall that was used to be my office, just to make space for that upstairs room. But we would love for you, if you haven't already, and some people love to give to projects. If that's you, man, have we got a project for you. We're just sort of thinking about praying about the factory space next door. It's a non-load-bearing wall. The landlord comes to us every time it's empty and asks us if we want it. There's someone in there temporarily at the moment, but that's an option, but it's an option that costs as well. So we tell you these things just to let you know there's opportunities available. God's given us all of these amazing kids, but there's a cost to it as well. It's a cost of doing missions, it's a cost of doing ministry, but it's a cost we can all be part of. Cool. So that's this.
as well.
I was going to say too, I think it would be great. I think prayer and fasting is a lost discipline in the church today, and it's hard to do. I know that, but I know I just said to Lyndon for this week, we're going to look at doing some of that, because it's just, what it does is it, every time you get hungry, you go, oh, okay, this is what I'm doing this for, and you can pray. And it's a great reminder. Your stomach will always remind you to pray. So, yeah, that would be cool.